From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, David, and it's great having you listen to our program this weekend. As most of you know, we have Bible study Monday through Friday with DPM presenting Life Change. Then on the weekends, we have testimonies of people that had marvelous experiences with the Lord. They tell us about them, and some people have written books, and of course, we have some Bible studies. And a regular with us on these programs is our good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlisek. And Pastor Bob, it's a great joy to have you back on with us today. You've been doing well.
Yeah, I've been doing really good, and my kids are good. And how have you been, and how's Bobby?
Well, you know, I just had a physical with my doctor. And when I go there, Pastor, I tell him I'm doing really good. Don't be poking around and finding something. He still goes around and pokes. But I had a good report from the doctor, for which I'm grateful. And Bobby, as many of you know out there, has cancer. It's been metastasized at stage 4. She's had it several years. She's had cancer 20 years, but she's very stable. And we're very thankful for the way the Lord has kept her with us. And I thank God daily for her. She's such a blessing. So thanks for asking. Your family's growing, isn't it?
Yeah, my daughter got married, and so now I have an extra son, and it's neat.
In a few days, I've got a son. One of my sons we thought would never get married is getting married. And so we got a lot of chaos in our family, too, with all of that coming about. So, well, today we're going to talk about the gospel. Now, I love the thought of the gospel. It's such a heartbeat to you and I and preachers everywhere. But when it comes to the gospel, somebody might be listening and saying, I really want to change the radio dial here because I've heard so much about the gospel. Why should they listen?
First, because it's the best news ever. And if you really understand the gospel, it never gets old. When my kids were growing up, I would tell them Wade Yoakam stories, which was a friend of mine who did all sorts of crazy things that he somehow survived. Like some of it was very serious. When he was like 5 years old, he ran over himself in a car, the front wheel of the tire. It just crazy that he survived, and jumping out of airplanes and, you know, search and rescue missions at national parks. And wow. You know, even as they got older, they would be like, tell us again. Tell us the Wade Yoakam stories again. Mm. And, you know, how much more is the story about a perfect, sinless God who would come to earth and die for us, his enemies, so that we could be reconciled to him. And it's not just something that happened, but it's something that impacts our life today, and a love that's almost incomprehensible. And so that's one of the great reasons that it's important. But I think secondly, it's the foundation for our faith. You know, the foundations and basics, and very important. You know, a house collapses without a foundation. Back in July of 1961, legendary coach Vince Lombardi started off training camp with the Green Bay Packers by saying, gentlemen, this is a football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of hilarious because these are professionals. They've played football all their lives. They know the game in and out. But he was basically saying to them, we're going to get back to the basics. Mm-hmm. We lost in the championship last year. We don't want to do that again. And the basics, the foundation, is what you have to build on. And it propelled them to win the NFL championship that year, and then 5 championships in the next 7 years, and the first 2 Super Bowls. So the gospel is our foundation, and that's That's why it's so important.
Yeah, I remember that story, Vince Lombardi. What a great story that is. So when we talk about the gospel, I remember several years ago, somebody pointed out to me, a Bible teacher pointed out, he said, there's gospel tracts written, and they talk about Jesus and things, but they don't really talk about the gospel. And I thought that rather fascinating, and I began to look at some gospel tracts, and it was true. The gospel was not there. So what exactly, Pastor, is the gospel?
I actually found that to be true also. And I think every track has part of the gospel that I've seen, but all of the gospel is important. And it's two decisions. One is to ask Jesus to forgive you and that he would be your savior. And, you know, recognizing that Jesus is God and he died on the cross for my sins. And that seems to be in all of the gospel tracks I've ever seen. And that's important because it takes humility. It's not of works so that no one can boast. And it's important to believe who Jesus is and what he's done for me and realize I need his forgiveness. I remember with a little kid who came forward, I was just in high school, and this kid came forward during an invitation at camp to be saved. And I took him aside and I said, "So have you sinned?" And the kid looked at me like he was going to get in trouble. He's like, no, I've never done anything wrong. No. He said, "Have you ever disobeyed your parents or lied or taken something that wasn't yours?" And he goes, "No, I've never done that. But my sister has." I said, "Well, maybe your sister should come forward." But I didn't pray with him because he didn't admit that he was a sinner needing forgiveness. And so that is an important part of the gospel. But the other part of it that I think is sometimes missing in those tracks is, "And make Jesus your Lord." And again, there's humility in that. I can't work and do it myself. That's a humble stance. But then I'm not going to be in charge of my life. I need to repent and make Jesus my Lord or my leader. And so that's the full gospel. And you're right, some tracts, they just have the one part of, hey, just believe and pray a prayer and you're in. And it doesn't really talk about, no, you need to surrender and give your life to God.
Well, as a man who had some sisters in his life, what he said about his sisters is true. That's a great story about the boy. We want to remind you, you're listening into Life Change Weekend. Glad you're listening into our program. This is Dino Padron speaking to you. I'm here in Florida, and Pastor Bob Kadlecic is in Pennsylvania. We have a number of letters that have come into our broadcast here that we want to share a couple of them with you. One is from Haiti. An evangelist writes to us. He is a close friend of a very good friend of ours in Haiti, talking about the problems there, asking for prayer. And as I say this to you, our listeners, I would encourage you to pray for Haiti and the problems and the issues that are going on there. They're very, very serious. I also have a letter here from India, a man that we have been ministering to for a long time. He's a pastor with work ministers in a wheelchair, and God is greatly using him. He's having a special conference at his church April 25th through 28th. And he's asking for prayer there. So when you think about it, pray for Haiti, pray for this pastor in India as well. We thank the Lord for these various individuals. Pastor, there are a lot of issues today when it comes to the gospel. Some call it the counterfeit. I just did a series on the broadcast not long ago about fraudulent Christianity, taken out of 2 Peter 2. There are false gospels. That's something that needs to be addressed, isn't it?
I'm amazed how many different false gospels there are. The first one I came across when I just moved in to Bridgewater and to the church here, and I wanted to get to know some of the local pastors. And so I started going to a lectionary meeting with a local Episcopal, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian pastors. And in some of those conversations, heard, you know, some of them talking about, well, that's the gospel. Helping poor people, that's the gospel. And I thought, no, I mean, that's good to help the poor, and I'm all about that and reaching out in that way to people who have physical needs, but that's not the gospel. And so that's actually been called the social gospel. And so while it is good to help people physically and relationally, ignoring the fact that they have a broken relationship with God, that they need to turn from their own sin and give their lives and follow Jesus, ignoring that's not the gospel. And progressive Christianity, which maybe should be called regressive, is almost a different religion because, in fact, I would say it's a different religion because it has a different gospel, a different God, and a different way to God. They would say our mission as a church is just to help the poor. That's not what Jesus says. He loves the poor. He came to help, but to set us free from our spiritual bondage and not just some economic bondage. So that's social gospel. There's other false gospels as well. I don't know, maybe I should get into some of those now too.
One of the things I think about, Pastor, often, and to me, it's one of the biggest dangers of the gospel, false gospel movement, is the prosperity gospel. This idea that you get saved, you're Christ, boys come to life, you got the life you can live. I find that so counterproductive when you look at the life of the Apostle Paul or Peter. You got apostles that are being martyred for the cause of Christ. Not that we want to be a martyr or act like a martyr, but the gospel really isn't about prosperity. God does bless us. I thank God for business people and wealthy people to help us in our ministries. But talk about that one. I think that's a real struggle.
And what you mentioned is really true. It's not that being rich is bad. Abraham was rich. King David was rich. It's the idea that if you have enough faith, God will give you everything you want. You're going to have money, perfect relationships, perfect family, perfect health. That is like totally not what God's word teaches. Jesus was the perfect mentor and friend, and yet he had Judas. Yeah. And so, you know, our friendships, even when we follow Jesus, we're going to have broken friendships. And Jesus had, obviously, faith. He was God, and yet he died penniless and in incredible suffering. And so did his disciples, except maybe John maybe didn't die a martyr's death. But again, Christianity from the very beginning was not a way to get rich. Paul had incredible faith, and yet God said he would not heal him from his thorn in the flesh. Paul said that it was a messenger of Satan to torment him. And Paul was tormented literally by professionals, whipped and beaten and stoned. And for him to say it was torment, I mean, what a terrible physical ailment he must have had. And God didn't heal him. And so this prosperity gospel just flies in the face of so much scripture. And it basically teaches, it's similar to the social gospel. It's focusing on the here and now and the physical and the external and neglecting the fact that sometimes the greatest work, well, all the time, God's greatest work is within us and in our character. And Paul's thorn in the flesh, it says, it wasn't a punishment, but God said to him, to keep you from becoming conceited. It was this physical thing that hurt him, that prosperity gospel preachers would say, oh, no, you need to have more faith and you'll be healed. No, God sometimes lets difficult things hit us on purpose so that we can become more like Jesus. And I think that's something the prosperity gospel misses. And really, the most popular preachers around the world are prosperity gospel preachers. And so it is something that definitely we need to be able to talk to others about and warn against and even confront. And the other, one of the most popular false gospels is a works gospel, right? And that's so many churches say, you know, if you do 3 religious rituals a week, well, you're probably in, but it depends, you know, and you have to outweigh. And I had someone say, you know, it's like if the works gospel was the real way to heaven by our works, it would kind of be like a teacher saying, you need to pass this test in order to pass the class, but I'm not telling you how high a grade you need because no one's ever sure. Like, is this good enough? You know, a year ago for Easter, just talking about how every Easter, Friday before Easter in the Philippines, a dozen or more men literally have themselves nailed and crucified to a cross for hours in order to pay for their sins or work their way to heaven. And that's just not the way. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And so prosperity, works, social gospel, these are very popular false gospels in our culture. But I think in our Protestant and even evangelical circles, I think the most popular and deceitful false gospel is different from those. I would call it an easy believy gospel. And sometimes non-believers are better at pointing out false gospels than followers of Jesus. You know, non-believers will look at the prosperity gospel and they'll say, that's no good. And I had a man tell me the most important virtue in Christianity isn't to be moral, it's to have faith. He said, believing and being a non-believer is worse than being a serial killer to you Christians. And that was his take on this easy believy gospel. It's just this idea of all you have to do is believe. And I responded to that. That's not true. James 2:19 says faith alone is demonic. It says you believe in God, good for you. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear. Demons believe Jesus died on the cross. Demons believe he rose from the dead. Demons believe that his death on the cross was in order to pay for our sins so we could be forgiven. What's the difference between you and a demon? Well, and that's where that repentance comes in. That's where that lordship. We love the second part of Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But many times we don't emphasize and focus on the first part. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's what Romans 10:9 starts with. And that's what a demon will never do. And so it's not enough to just believe. We have to go beyond that and trust and surrender and make Jesus our Lord. So those are like maybe the four most common false gospels, I think, that we see, or I see, at least in America today.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were sharing there, Pastor, many people nowadays who used to go to church have forsaken the church, and some are concerned about going to the church. I would think that if we don't have the gospel message right, it's no wonder they don't show up, because it's so confusing after a while. I mean, which one of these would be true? And all of them have a works element to them. So, excellent. I used to lead trips to Israel. I don't do it anymore because of my wife's health, but also because of all the problem over there. I wouldn't anyhow now. But I remember we used to do what was called the Stages of the Cross. We quit doing it because it's so noisy over there. If you've been there, Pastor, you know, when you go down those old city streets, you can't hear the person next to you, much less a lecture up front explaining what's going on when Jesus came to these stages. We quit doing it. But there was one place that was there that was so, that so touched my heart. I have a little booklet of it. It's called the Lithostratus, which means the pavement. And it, when you go in there, there's a lecture given, usually by women, about how they gambled for Jesus' clothing. And he had no home. He had no clothing. He had nothing. The Son of God. And he gave his life as our sacrifice for our sin. I've never forgotten that. He has nothing. He's given up everything that we could have this salvation. So we need to really listen to what he says about the gospel, because it is the right thing. So thank you for sharing that. Again, you're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron talking to you, our good friend, Pastor Bob Catalisa, is on with us. And we're talking today about the gospel. I think when we said at the beginning, why listen to a program on the gospel, what you just heard is very helpful about the gospel. So we have just about 3 minutes left here, Pastor. Give us a positive thought on how did Jesus talk about the gospel?
I do think it's important to see how Jesus explained the gospel. And I think it's important for us to be able to explain the gospel quickly, because I think if we can't communicate something quickly, it's not clear. And a fog in your mind is midnight in your mouth. You know, if you aren't crystal clear on what the gospel is, you won't communicate it well to others. So my shortest version of the gospel is 6 words: make Jesus your Savior and Lord. Or more recently, we've been using the words, make Jesus your forgiver and leader. And so then you have to explain what that means, you know, forgiveness and Jesus's death on the cross for us. And Lord means he's my leader. And one of the things he often said to his disciples was, follow me. In fact, he said, follow me, I think, more than he said, believe in me. Because you have to believe in who Jesus is to make him your Lord and make him your leader. So that's a prerequisite. I don't follow Santa Claus, right? Because I don't believe in him. So that is important, but it doesn't stop at belief. When I would read the Gospels as a teenager and even in Bible college, one of the things that I thought was, how come Jesus never gives the gospel? Because I was so used to this just believe message, you know, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I almost never saw that. And it's because I didn't really know what the full gospel was. In fact, one of the verses that really puzzled me was Matthew 22:37 through 39, where Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And I thought, why doesn't he say the gospel is the greatest commandment? Why doesn't he respond with, you know, the Romans road or Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. And he doesn't say it that way, but he does give the gospel. And I think it's one of the clearest, best presentations of the gospel. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the gospel. And if you do that, then you'll love your neighbor as yourself too. And of course, you don't love someone you don't believe in. I don't love the tooth fairy because I don't believe in the tooth fairy. But it's more than just belief. That wholehearted, 100% love. One of our other pastors was just talking to a man and led him to Christ. But in the lead up to it, he's kind of trying to talk him out of it. Basically, are you sure? He said, you know, in the past, you've made God a priority, but you haven't made him your Lord. You haven't given your whole life to him. In fact, you realize that this means he has your money. You realize this means he has your marriage. You realize this means to help him understand what Jesus often told his disciples, which is count the cost. Don't follow me before you consider what it will cost you. I think we've overplayed this. Salvation is free. Well, in some ways it is, because we don't have to work for it. We don't have to do 20 things to get to where Jesus and God will accept us. But it's not free because Jesus paid the ultimate price. And also he demands that we surrender and give our lives to him. And so sell all you have and follow me, right? Jesus said to one of the men that wanted to follow him. And the guy left because Jesus was saying, do you love me more than money? And the guy basically said, no. Okay, well then you can't be my disciple. Another guy, you know, he said, I don't have a place to sleep tonight. I'm inviting you to a life of uncertainty. Do you love me more than comfort and having a home or knowing where you're going to sleep? Okay, well then you can't be a Christian. You can't follow me. Another guy, he said, you need to leave your dad on his deathbed and follow me. Do you love me more than your family? No? Okay, well then you can't be a Christian or a follower of Jesus. You know, the gospel isn't something you work for, but don't let anyone tell you it's free. Jesus gave his life and we have to give up our lives too. And so I don't always do this, but I do sometimes try to talk people out of getting saved. And our church, it's been amazing what God has been doing. We have, you know, across our 6 different locations, last year we had over 100 people accept Christ as their Savior. And that's not like just, hey, raise a hand, check a box, you're in. That's some of these conversations of, are you sure? I talked to a man 2 weeks ago. He said he wanted to accept Jesus as a Savior. And I knew his story and I knew why he had come. And I said, well, this means you're going to have to stop having sex with your girlfriend, because that's what following Jesus means. I mean, we're not saved by doing that. But when we surrender our lives to Jesus, let's be clear to people about what surrender looks like. Because I would rather, and this is my last thought maybe, I'd rather do 3 religious rituals a week than give God my life. I'd rather tithe and give 10% of my money and do prayer and devotions every morning and go to church on Sunday. That is easier than saying, God, you have everything. You have my life. And I would say to those listening, even if you're unwilling to even do giving God 10% or praying and reading God's word or going to church, do you really love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You need to ask yourself, am I really saved? And God's not looking to be one of your priorities. He's looking to be your Lord. And are you ready to truly put him first? And again, it's not by works. There are people who can't go to church. There's a man in my small group who he at the grocery store Sunday morning, and he's, you know, listening in an earbud to service when he can and when, you know, he's allowed to. But so it's not like do all these rituals, but it is surrendering and getting off the throne of our life, putting God first.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bob Kadlecic. You've been listening in to Life Change Weekend. Thanks for listening in. I'm reminded of when Jesus said to Peter, will you two leave me? And Peter said, where am I going to go? Who am I going to go to? And my friend, at the end of the day, that's what really matters. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.